In Isaiah chapter number 59, remember the Old Testament prophets stressed at times condemnation and judgment, and at other times they spoke of comfort and of hope. And so many of our Old Testament books are the Old Testament minor and major prophets. Isaiah, when we read the book of Isaiah, you must realize that he's prophesying during one of the worst times in the history of Israel. The Israelites had become so corrupt that God was going to remove them. He raised up the Assyrian army to be unmerciful and ruthless, really a war machine on Israel. Isaiah prophesied during the days of King Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, and probably King Manasseh of Judah. His prophetic ministry lasted about 40 years. He prophesied from 760 before the time of Christ to about 720. So over those 40 years, we find the words that were written by Isaiah in our scriptures. The sins which were prevalent in Isaiah's day are discussed in chapters 56 through 59 of this prophetical book. A glorious song of the Messianic age is in Isaiah 60 verses 62, talking about that millennial age. And so as you read about chapters 56, 57, 58, and 59, oh my, Israel's a mess. But then he ends his book with, hey, Jesus is coming, and Jesus is going to reign. And then in chapter 63 and 64, there's a prayer for mercy and for pardon. At the end of this first paragraph in Isaiah chapter 59, which we read, the Bible says that truth is fallen. In Isaiah's day, truth had fallen in the streets. To be trampled upon, truth needed help. Truth in this passage, if you look up the word truth and you just do some basic word study in a Strong's Concordance, you have the first word you find in the Strong's when it tries to describe or help you to have a better understanding of the word truth in this passage, the word stability. Here, truth had fallen, and because truth had fallen, stability had fallen. Certainty had fallen. And so now Isaiah is prophesying in a day where because there was no truth that was exalted, there was no truth that was followed, there was no truth that was proclaimed, he's writing to an unstable and an uncertain people. In Isaiah's day, there was a great conflict between truth and lies, just like there is today. If you look in these verses of Scripture, go back to verse number 3, you'll see that the Bible says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness." Verse number 4, "None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies." No wonder truth has fallen. There's a lot of people in Isaiah's day that were speaking lies. There's really a spiritual warfare going on between truth and deceit as Isaiah writes this passage of Scripture to real people like you and me. He's communicating this truth, that truth is fallen in the street. When truth falls, it creates a traffic jam, is what Isaiah is speaking to the people in his day. Justice and equity cannot make progress. Here is a thoroughfare like Route 83 or Route 15 or Route 322, if you can picture being on one of those highways, and it likens life to a street or an expressway. And it says here that something has fallen in the street. Truth has fallen in the street. Because truth has blocked the street, equity cannot get by. Consequently, judgment is turned backwards. There's no way to get by it. There's no proper judgment. It goes on to say that justice standeth afar off. Justice comes down the road and wants to get by, but can't get by because truth had fallen in the street. A couple years ago, we had a couples retreat up in Harrisburg. Some of you went to our very first couples retreat. We've had two of them now. And we were on our way. My wife and I were on our way to get up there to help Brother Hendricks and Mrs. Hendricks and the staff get everything in place and make sure that everything was prepared for everybody when they were coming up. And we were on Route 83. We were right there just beyond the Mount Rose exit heading north. And a truck had literally broken in two. And it covered both lanes of 83 heading north. And we sat there and thought, not much progress is taking place, and traffic's jammed up. And we could kind of see the writing on the wall. This is going to take hours to fix. And they could kind of see the writing on the wall as well. And so they began to back everybody up on Route 83 to get off at the previous exit. Never have I driven backwards on an interstate like I did that day. I'm watching my mirror, and this policeman's back there, you know, doing this number and trying to make sure I don't hit the barrier, and driving backwards that long is not necessarily my cup of tea. But nevertheless, there's a traffic jam. We were not going to get through for a while. And they realized that, and they reverted us to another way. Here, that's what truth falling in the street causes. It's like a domino effect. It affects a lot of other things. And Isaiah is bringing that out in this passage, that because truth has fallen in the streets, justice and judgment and equity and prayer, a lot of things are messed up because truth has fallen in the streets. So it is in America today. Biblical truth is still being proclaimed. It's seeking to root itself in the hearts of people, but it misses the mark. Not only does the Bible say truth falleth in the street, but I want you to see, secondly, that it says truth faileth, verse number 15. And the word picture there is that truth is trying to dig and trying to get into something where it can take root and it can have effect, positive effect in people's lives. And as it has positive effect in people's lives, it has positive effect in a nation. But truth is trying to get into the soil, but it's not taking root in any hearts. It not only falleth, it faileth. It comes up empty. It can't produce anything right in people's lives because it doesn't take root in people's hearts. As one author put it in this, upon writing upon this text, truth has lost all of its vitals. Now watch this. You lose all your vital signs, you're not alive anymore. Okay? Here, he's saying truth has fallen. Truth faileth. Hey, it's lost all of its vital signs. There's no life connected to truth in our culture today. Truth is neglected in the courts. It's neglected in the cities. It's neglected in our country. It's neglected in many cases in our churches. It's neglected in the markets and the places of commerce. All things seem to be amiss because there's no judgment, there is no justice, there is no equity. Because truth is fallen. But because truth is fallen and because it fails doesn't mean that it dies. God's word will live on forever. That is truth. Thankfully, we may not receive it. Our country may not receive it. People may not allow it to enter into their hearts. But God's truth never dies. I'm thankful for that tonight. Neither does it change. But preacher, this is a new age. We have to change with the changing times. No, we don't. Because truth doesn't change. But truth does need help. Truth must be preached. Whether popular or unpopular, whether accepted or rejected, whether liked or hated, we need to lift up truth. In our lives, we need to lift up truth. Where truth is fallen, believers need to lift up truth. Truth needs men and women. It needs proclaiming. It needs declaring. Remember, in Acts, the eunuch said this, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Read Isaiah 53, but how can I understand it unless somebody would come along and explain the truth to the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, I'm lost. I'm not getting it. And so we find examples in Scripture that That truth needs help. It needs to be declared. It needs to be exalted, lifted up in our country. Once truth was standing saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is not the way, stay away from it. The one who said, I am the way, said in the next few words, I am the truth. When truth falls, the way falls. You understand, folks, how serious truth is to a culture, to a people. Because where there's no truth, there's no way. There's no right and wrong. There's nobody to say, hey, this affects the way you live. God said, live your life this way. And don't live your life this way. God said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. There's an exclusive, there is a narrow way that the Bible speaks of that's based upon truth. Without truth, there is no way. I want you to understand tonight that verse number 8 of Isaiah 59, it brings forth this truth. This people, Israel, was praying. In fact, in chapter number 58, they were fasting before God. They were seeking God for some things to change in their land, amongst their people. But in verse number 8, the Bible says, the way of peace they know not. Wait, truth has fallen in the street, and as a result of it, they don't know the way of peace. You see any correlations today to that? Truth has fallen in the streets. Is America finding the way of peace? We don't know the way of peace. Uh-uh. They didn't know it in their day. Interesting. When truth falls in the street, the Supreme Court becomes confused. When truth falls in the street, our Congress knows not what laws to make. When truth falls in the street, our leaders grope in darkness. Our young folks become anarchists. This is what happens when truth falls in the street. And brethren, one of the problems in America tonight is truth has fallen. And truth has failed. Truth always opens up the thoroughfare. Truth allows equity to pass, allows judgment and justice to pass. Truth, when it's standing erect, it always points people in the right way. That's what truth does. And brethren, there's one place to find truth. Right here. Right here. Notice, because truth not only is fallen and faileth, notice that he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. In our passage of Scripture, I want you to go, let me get to the verse, but it talks about those that are departing are prey. Verse number 15, Isaiah 59, verse number 15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. It kind of reminds me of that passage that when a nation calls evil good and good evil, when truth falleth in the streets, those that would depart from evil and go after right and live for truth, they become the prey. They become the people that are attacked. That's what happens when truth is fallen in the streets. Josephus, the historian, tells us that immediately before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, it was a matter of scorn to be religious. You know, history often repeats itself. Where wickedness rules, innocency is oppressed because truth has fallen in the streets. The word justice in this passage is used two different times, and it means that which is morally right according to the measure of God's word. By the way, morality always has a measure to it. There's something by which you can measure it. It's called the word of God. And justice is that morality that is in a person according to the measure of God's word. If you look back in our text in Isaiah chapter number 59, the Bible says in verse number 9, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us, neither does moral principles and moral living even affect us or change our course." Verse number 14, "And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off." And may I say tonight, as far as moral living in America, it is not overtaking us, and it does stand afar off, because truth has fallen in the streets. There's another word here, judgment, in the Scriptures, in Isaiah chapter 59. It refers to a verdict or a sentence. Somebody making a verdict or a sentence or a decree in the courts of a verdict. And in Isaiah 59, verse number 9, in our text, the Bible says that right verdicts that are holy and pure and true and in agreement with the Word of God are far from us. Far from us. Verse number 11, it says, "We roar all like bears and mourn like, sore like doves. We look for judgment. We look for verdicts." Boy, we just hope that there be a right verdict, that a court would come out and say something that was right in agreement with God's Word. We yearn for that, only to be disappointed. But there is none, Isaiah wrote, in his day. Verse number 15. "The Lord saw it and it displeased Him that there was no judgment." About what, preacher? About people that are departing from evil and being slain for it. People that are being attacked, people that are being mocked, people that are being hushed and silenced because they believe right. And God said there should be judgment on that. In fact, biblical rule of government is to punish evil, to be a terror unto evil. That is Bible, Romans chapter 13. There's another word in this passage that's interesting to understand. It's the word equity. It means straightforwardness in verse number 14. It can't enter. People who are not received are people who are upright. You can't really be straightforward anymore about truth. Hard for people to take it. It's offensive. Don't talk to me about that. Stay away from that. So tonight, as we look at truth has fallen, I want to give you the where truth falls. Number one, truth falls where there is powerless prayer. Powerless prayer. Go back to verses 2 and 3, if you will, of Isaiah chapter 59. The Bible here says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not hear." God is addressing His people, and they have anticipated that God would divinely intervene and have prayed for it. But their lifestyle reveals all too much that their prayer was not really directed toward God with a pure heart. And therefore God would not answer their prayers. Isaiah 59 begins with this refutation of Israel's charge that perhaps God did not have the power any longer to save, or that He had no interest to hear His people's prayer. But in verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 59, He addresses that when He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear." Wait. All the problems in a nation are never too much for God to handle. God's more powerful than all the problems in a nation. It wasn't that. It was that their sins had separated them from the Lord. Verse number 2 of chapter 58, if you go back there, "Yet they seek Me daily, delight to know My ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, and ask of Me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God." Notice in verse number 4, "Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen?" Verse number 5. Verse number 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? my, these people were giving up food. They on one side of things were begging God to intervene. But on the other side of things, they were living wicked lives. And God said, I won't act on that. I won't act on that. In Proverbs 15, verse 8, the Bible says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Brethren, one of the reasons we're where we're at today is because we have Christians that are praying but powerless. We have people that are praying but not dealing with sin and not from a pure heart. We're, in some degree, we're in the same shape that the Israel was in Isaiah 58 and 59. Do you want God to change America? I do. Do you want God to address the problems that you see with your own eyes? I hope you do. I hope you're not content to just, well, this is the new America. This is just the new normal of what we're going to deal with. No, we have a God! But you can't pray from an impure heart and expect the mighty arm of God to act on your behalf. One of the reasons truth has fallen is because we have powerless prayer. For our transgressions, in verse number 12, for our transgressions are multiplied. We're in chapter 59 now. Are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. They got to chapter number 59, and some confession began in chapter number 59. We know our iniquities and our transgressions. Their sins included violence. If you read through chapter 59, they included perverseness. They included lying lips. They included shedding innocent blood. They included planning evil and doing all of it openly. Sin eventually became open sin without shame. Christian, tonight, may I remind you that unconfessed sin in your life eventually becomes open sin without shame. That's very dangerous. Now, the great danger that we are facing tonight in our lives is, well, we're not, preacher, we're not knocking down statutes in America. We're not lighting restaurants on fire. We're not looting, preacher. We're not doing those kinds of things. But may I remind you that sin is sin. We ought not to compare our sin and before God say, well, we're not like them. We ought to understand that any sin in our lives keeps us from praying with power and seeing God's power. That is the problem here. Verse 6 of chapter 59, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Usually garments in the Old Testament was that of a covering. Okay, in many cases there was nakedness and a garment was thrown on somebody to cover their nakedness. The Bible says sin got so bad in the nation of Israel in the days of Isaiah that they didn't even cover. There was no garments to cover. They just opened sin. Brethren, that will lead to powerless prayer. There was a great deal of violence in the land. It's interesting, the people lifted up their hands to worship God, but their hands were stained with innocent blood. Do you see the diversion here? Do you see how we're trying to walk two ways? And God's looking at it, and God wants to help their land. Man, it's a mess. Isaiah only has negative things to speak about here, and God wants to intervene, but He can't when it's like that. Brethren, that's why we pray for revival. Because revival gets that wickedness out of our lives to where we have power again with God in prayer. One of the great sins of our nation, I believe, is prayerlessness. But you're not going to pray when you got wickedness going on in your life, when you're holding on to sin in your life. Notice in verses 4 through 8 in chapter 59, the words there and they are used repeatedly. But notice in verses 9 through 11, changes to us and we. Huh. It indicates that they begin to take responsibility for their wrongs. Christian, It's, again, the things we're facing in our nation tonight are not our nation's fault. The things that we're facing in our nations are believers' fault tonight. It's our fault. It really is. We've played Christianity in some ways. We don't have power with God in prayer. Our prayers don't shake the throne room of heaven. There's too much worldliness. There's too much carnality. There's too much straddling of the fence. There's too much of worshiping God on Sunday and then living like the world the rest of the week. And God says, I can't hear. Your sins have separated me. Finally, in verses 9 through 11, we now are taking responsibility. We grope for the wall like the blind in verse 10, and we grope as if it had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, deliverance, but it's far from us. Truth has fallen where there's powerless prayer. Truth has fallen where there is no judgment. No one calling out. The word judgment here is interesting. It means to proclaim. It means to call out. There is none of that. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We don't call out sin from our pulpits anymore. Our churches only want to hear about the love of God. By the way, God is love. I'm not denying that tonight. We don't hear about the judgment of God anymore. We don't hear about the lake of fire anymore. And now in America, no one's able to call out crime anymore. The dominoes are falling. Starting with the pulpits in America. Starting with believers that used to call wrong, wrong. That now approve wrong is right. We used to have standards and convictions. We used to have things that we just said, man, these are wrong and these are right. We changed that. It's sad. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. We should be judging ourselves. We should be calling out ourselves. That's what's missing in America. That's what's missing in Christians' lives. David did it. Acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. Truth has fallen where there is no judgment. Truth has fallen where there's powerless prayer. Truth has fallen where there's a misplaced trust. In your Bibles, Isaiah 59, verse number 4, the Bible says, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. Instead, where's their efforts? Where's their focus? Where's their energy? In vanity. The Bible says they trust in vanity. America has put all their stock and put all their eggs in the basket of worthless things. Materialism. Vanity means worthless, empty, nothing that can or will deliver them. That's where truth falls. Where we trust in vanity. Christians have spent more time on Amazon than they have on their knees. Why we're at where we're at. We've trusted in vanity. Truth has fallen. I want to challenge us tonight. When they selected men to lead Israel in Exodus 18, God gave this, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth. Men of truth. Women of truth. We need a call back to truth tonight. We need to pick up truth that has fallen in the streets and live it and proclaim it and share it. We need to stop talking about how bad it is. And we need to start talking about how Jesus saves. That's what America needs to hear. They don't need to hear us, look, boy, did you see what happened in Seattle this week? Oh my. Of course they saw what happened in Seattle this week. Everybody sees these things. You know what they need? They need the truth, the way, and the life. That's what they need. They need us to declare to them, hey, we're going to hold the truth high. And the truth is Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. I look at the leaders of our church tomorrow. I ask this question. Will they be known as men and women of truth? Will they believe it? Will they practice it? Will they live it in church and live it at home? And live it at work? Will they proclaim it? Will they witness of it? Thoughtful question. I want to challenge all the younger generation in our church tonight. You've been in very few wars in your life. But I want you to know you're in a war right now. And the war is over truth. I want to pass on to you Joshua's advice tonight. He said in Joshua 24, verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." In closing, I want to take a look at the bookends of this passage, and there are two thrusts that God wants to burn in our hearts this evening as we look at this great problem in our country. Number one, God is not incapable of saving His people. Every Christian in our church tonight needs to be reminded that God is not incapable of saving His people. He starts the passage out like that. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." There's no weakness. There's no inability on the part of God at all tonight in regards to what you're seeing. There's no fault. There's no handicap. God is ready to act. The problem is this wall of separation between man and God, which man's iniquity has formed. God is powerful. God is listening tonight. He wants to say to every church, Bible-believing church, here I am. But He won't send His power unless we become pure. Revival always includes confession before God and reconciliation with one another. The second bookend is in verses 15 and 16. God was stunned. By the way, that's not exaggerating the Scripture. God was absolutely stunned that there was no intercessor during this time. Verse number 16 of Isaiah 59, "And He saw that there was no man, and wondered," it's the word stunned, "that there was no intercessor." Now watch this. In Israel's history, they have had intercessors. Moses was an intercessor. Moses interceded on behalf of the nation of Israel, and God stayed the plague. Did He not? David was an intercessor. David interceded on behalf of the nation, and God heard David's prayer. I want you to understand that Joshua was an intercessor. These men at times stayed the hand of God upon the whole nation of Israel. But during Isaiah's time, God looked. He saw all the filthiness. He saw everything that was taking place. He saw good people, right people, upright people being prey of the evil. And He saw no judgment. And then He looked and He said, "Is there someone that would cry out? Is there someone that would plead for these people?" And He saw none. No advocate to go to the throne of heaven for these people. In Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30, we have another similar setting where it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.
none. Church, tonight, there really ought to be a motivation in your heart and in my heart. Number one, get anything out of my life that's keeping me from seeing God's power. My, if I want heaven to hear prayer, I want Him to hear it right now. As I pray for my country, as I pray for America, I want God to hear my prayer. How about you? I know to some degree it has not come out in the country. I know that through the COVID virus and the riots and things that are happening, for the most part, you're not affected maybe, but there are many that are. And it doesn't mean you won't. And it ought to be stirring something in our hearts that says God is able. No doubt God is able. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save, nor is His ear that He cannot hear. But it ought to stir us to pray. It ought to stir us that the Lord would look down at Mount Zion Baptist Church tonight and find some intercessors. I believe that we're in similar days that Isaiah spoke. And he found no intercessor. May God find some intercessors tonight. I believe that we ought to look at truth being fallen in the street and say, and make a stronger commitment than ever, Lord, I am going to be a truth bearer. God, I am going to pick up the truth. We're just not going to let it fall. We're going to witness. We're going to take the gospel. We're going to hold up what is right and absolute from the Scriptures. We're going to declare it. We're going to live it in our lives. We're not going to allow truth just to fall and to fail. There needs to be a man. There needs to be a woman. There needs to be young people that would rise up and say, we'll hold up the truth. The truth matters to us. By the way, that ought to be the theme of our country. Truth matters. Truth matters. Tonight, do you have a misplaced trust? Have you been silenced? Could you be counted among the intercessors? Could you be a truth bearer, somebody that's valiant for truth? Because the great problem in America is truth has fallen.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.